We are going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning to start out with here. And with the Thanksgiving holiday coming up this week, one thing you can't help but think about is tradition. You know, we're all used to traditions in some way or another. I'm guessing that some of you guys might be like me, where we had the tradition of going to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving and having a meal there. We had all of our aunts and uncles, plenty of the cousins were running around pulling our typical shenanigans. And growing up in Michigan, we also, for Thanksgiving morning, it usually also included watching the Detroit Thanksgiving Day Parade on TV. And also, since we were up there in Michigan, it was tradition that since the Lions played on Thanksgiving, that we would watch them lose. I very rarely remember them winning that day, so. But even once I moved away from up there and moved down here, we started doing other things as Thanksgiving tradition. We started making new traditions. Now, I know this Thursday I'll end up at my brother and sister-in-law's house, and part of the tradition that I have there is I rearrange their decorations. And I've got some nephews now that have started joining in. They're coming up with different things that I hadn't thought of. I usually get blamed for them, but I did not think of them. But one of the main traditions that we have is we have a feast. There's something about our human nature that we just love to break bread together. We love to have meals with one another. It's good to see and catch up with family members that we may not interact with heavily. It's good to slow the pace of life down and stop the hustle and the bustle and see people in person. Set aside some of the work that needs done and intentionally focus on something else. It's good to recognize, though, why we're doing it. Doing things where we don't know why we're doing it doesn't really benefit us in the long run. When we do things just because we've always done it that way, or because it's always what we're used to. But it's good to recognize what led up to that and why that tradition got started in the first place. It's good to embrace what it is that we're celebrating. It's good to do things, but we can't just do them blindly. That's when it starts getting dangerous. So we get to the point where we ask ourselves, why are we doing this? And Paul talked about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us every everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort in your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Traditions are not bad when we realize why we're doing it. Verse 15 says, to hold the traditions which we are taught. So I want to make sure that this word tradition actually meant what it does today. Tradition used here in the Greek word is paradosis. It's a giving over which is done by word of mouth or in writing. For example, tradition by instruction, narrative, precept, etc. Paradosis also means to hand over or hand on. To break it into cleaner, more modern English, you might call it to hand down. It's good to hand down traditions to the next generation. It's good to establish something with a reason for it. But we must be purposeful about why we are doing it. Paul, in writing to the church in Thessalonica, he embraced tradition here, but he notes one important thing about it. The traditions we have been taught. Traditions are important, but it's good to embrace, to recognize them as they are taught, to embrace why it is we're doing it. Some traditions could have been intended to originally remind ourselves what God is doing. You know, last week I read a portion of that flag folding ceremony they did at Gracie's Veterans Day concert. The tradition of reading it by itself isn't important. If you lose track of the significance of the words, if you're reading it out of routine instead of letting it sink into your heart. We see that within religion as well. You know, even some of the Catholics, some of the traditions they have, like how they bend a knee before they enter into the pew, they do it with respect of the one true King. But the problem with tradition is sometimes it's done because it's just how they've always done it. That tradition isn't bad if you recognize why you are doing it. Think a moment here for about worship. One thing we do here for sure at New Life is we worship God. But worship is not singing five songs. Worship actually has nothing to do with music. Worship is supposed to be a reflection of our heart. Thinking a good worship song is based on whether or not the song has a catchy rhythm or a catchy beat. It loses track of what the tradition of putting the words to song does. But the song, it allows us to be a creative way to express our love back to God, which is to honor God because God is a creative being himself. Singing the song and singing a new song or spiritual song back to God, it pushes it to come from within us. It pushes it to come from within our very heart. The words, they flow out of adoration for him. Some of you might be thinking, see, that's why we need to go back to some of the old hymns. But whether it's a modern song or an older hymn, that is not the important thing. The words that we're singing are more important than the tune. Some of those older hymns, they're just as theologically inaccurate as some of the modern songs that we sing today. They don't line up to proper doctrine. They may have a good chorus or may have a good verse in there, but sometimes those other verses don't quite line up to God's desire. Now, I'm not picking on all hymns. There are some great ones that we sing. There are some great ones that we work into our service. But our focus shouldn't be on the sweet by and by. Our desire should be to leave this earth and get to Jesus. It should be embracing God's nature and his presence in our lives. Recognizing that we already have full access to him. Recognizing his relationships while we're here. It should be about living the life that he has for us here on earth. Victorious living here and now, not just victorious living in heaven. For a believer, heaven is a given. But we miss out for his plans for now when we start thinking that way. Some of the songs that we hear today, even though, they're what I call Christian entertainment. They're okay to listen to, but they're not worship. They aren't lifting God up. They aren't glorifying him. Some of them are focused on what we want out of the relationship with him, not praising him just because we should praise him, just because of who he is. Any song, whether it's new or old, whether it's your first time listening to it or the 100th time, we have to look at it through the appropriate lens. Just because it's labeled as a Christian song doesn't mean that it's what God wants. We need to pay attention to the words. God wants to have the focus on Him all the time. He wants us to recognize Him in anything we do, whether it be tradition or if it's something new. Jesus Himself came and interrupted traditions. In Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 5, the Pharisees and scribes asked Him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of your pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do.' He said to them, 'All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition.'" Jesus broke the norms. He didn't go with the flow. Some of the traditions they had were more focused on the ceremonial cleaning of the cups, the ceremonial cleaning of all of that. They were taking the commandments that God had given. They were more about trying to create new laws to try to add their own regulations to it. They were rejecting the heart behind the instructions that they were given. They were rejecting the reason that they were supposed to do it. They were more focused about going through the actions or the motions than seeking after what God was going for in the first place. They didn't embrace the reason for what they were doing. That reason should have drew them closer to God. But instead, it became something that was done out of tradition. God wants us to recognize His role in it all. He wants to push the focus back to Him. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, though. Not all traditions are bad. Some traditions, as long as you recognize why you're doing them, they actually end up being okay and giving you a reminder of who God is. Tell the truth and shame the devil here, but I was a bit of a Grinch when it came to Christmas shortly after I was saved. I wondered about rejecting everything from Christmas trees to Christmas carols. Of all the things, a kid's special from What's in the Bible outlined what it all meant the best for me. It's called "Why Do We Call It Christmas?" with Buck Denver. Showing what the roots of so many of the traditions were. Those of you who have seen it, I'm sure you're laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it shows us what it was that first brought about that tradition that now we just cut down a tree and bring it in our house and then deal with watering it every day and watering it every day, and then you get tired and then the leaves dry or the needles dry up. But they actually show why it was or where it was that they first used that to glorify God. We can't blindly go along with it. Everything we are doing needs to be done with purpose. There needs to be heart when we do any tradition. Just doing it because we've always done it should never be good enough. When it becomes where no one knows why, that's the time to just say, stop, let's find out why. We can get that way with holding on to so many traditions. You know, humans, we naturally resist change. We get used to our routines. We get used to how we do things. If it's something different, we want the old way back sometimes. Now, if I'm stepping on your guys' toes, that's okay, because I'm stepping on my own also. I'll say at work, they recently changed from like 5 or 6 different programs that we used down to one single one. The thought behind it, yeah, that should work great. Well, the problem is that you have five or six new systems to learn because none of them were the same as the old one. And in the long run, it should work out. But in the short term, we just want the old back. Some things would work better. Some things were a little bit more clunky. But a lot of things, it was just that it's different. Sometimes, though, God wants us to lay aside tradition. And He wants to embrace something new that He's wanting to do in us and through us. We miss out on embracing God's heart when we hold on too tightly to tradition. Tradition can be a stronghold for some people. Those strongholds that we battle with, sometimes they're a struggle that's our own doing. It's not a stronghold that's holding on to us, but it's a stronghold that we're holding on to too tightly. See, we have to release whatever it is that we're holding on to that tight and let God show us if it's something that He wants to remain. Those old traditions we're holding on to keep us from gripping whatever new it is that God has for us. God does not change, but He does move our focus to something new from time to time. He places new opportunities in front of us. He doesn't change, we do. And as He changes us, He increases our awareness. He increases our desires for Him. You might be thinking, okay, Pastor John, you've made your point. We need to move past being stuck on how we've always done it. So what does that mean for the upcoming holiday this week? How do we look at that through God's eyes? Pushing past tradition and seeing God's heart through it all. Well, if we look at what we've been taught, if we haven't been taught it, let's look at it right now. Here's a little information about the early Thanksgivings in this nation. New England and Virginia colonists originally celebrated days of fasting as well as days of Thanksgiving, thanking God for blessings such as harvests, ship landings, military victories, or the end of a drought. These were observed through church services accompanied with feasts and other communal gatherings. Thanksgiving became an annual custom throughout England in the 17th and 18th centuries. In 1777, the Continental Congress declared the first national American Thanksgiving following the Patriot victory at Saratoga. In 1789, President George Washington became the first president to proclaim a Thanksgiving holiday when all, at the request of Congress, he proclaimed November 26th, a Thursday, as a day of national thanksgiving for the providence and favor of God on the people of the nation. However, it was not until 1863 when President Abraham Lincoln declared Thanksgiving to officially fall on the last Thursday of November that the modern holiday was celebrated nationally. Now, I encourage everybody to Google Lincoln's 1863 Thanksgiving Proclamation and read it for yourselves. But he specifically spells out it is a time for our nation to give thanks to the wonderful providence of our Almighty God, even in the midst of a civil war, one of unequaled magnitude at the time. If the Declaration of Thanksgiving can come in the midst of a civil war, we can realize how we should be thankful now, even in the midst of the division in our government. With few deviations, Lincoln's precedent was followed by annually by every subsequent president until FDR in November 26, 1941, he signed a bill into law officially making the fourth Thursday in November the national holiday of Thanksgiving Day. See, these traditions are not bad if we look at it through the appropriate lens. Whether society wants to celebrate this holiday as a celebration of God or not, it doesn't change our outlook now on it, because we will celebrate it with the right heart. It's good to see family that we don't normally see. It's good to rekindle relationships and let God heal them while we're together. The food is always good. Some of those dishes become fall favorites. But God is the reason we gather together. All those other things, sure, they're good. But our focus is on God. Whether you want to have foods like what they did back in the time that they originally celebrated it, or if you want to switch it up and go with something more modern as you gather around the tables of family today, that's up to you. I'd be okay with gizzards and squirrel even, as long as we don't take God out of the gathering. Regardless of what it is, we're going to have a feast. Food always brings conversations, gives people a time to reflect and talk. Feasting is nothing new when reflecting on God. There's plenty of feasts in the Bible. There's three specific ones that every male was supposed to make the trip to Jerusalem and partake in. The Feast of Passover, Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. Every one of them had something specific that they were reflecting on the nature of God about, or a memory of God that they were embracing. I'm going to touch on those three, but all the feasts are listed in Leviticus 23 and I encourage you to read it on your own. Passover celebrated how God delivered the Israelites from the 10th plague in Egypt, how death passed over the doorways of the Israelites that had blood of the lamb on their doorposts. Saving the firstborn of the Israelites, showing that our God is the true God and that Pharaoh was not. They got together and feasted not just for a few hours like us on Thanksgiving Day, but they celebrated for a whole week straight. Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, was celebrated the day after 7 weeks from Passover. Pentecost literally means 50 or 50 days. It celebrated how God increases the grain and they recognize the first harvest of the year. They celebrated the early grain that is available. They dedicated it to God. They recognized His hand on it all. And they continued to recognize the freedom that God had given them, that they were no longer slaves in Egypt, but He had made them a great nation, recognizing that the covenant that they had made with God. The Feast of Tabernacles, they celebrated and they put themselves in remembrance of where God brought them from as they went through the wilderness for 40 years. They would build tents and booths, reminding themselves that God had brought them from being homeless, how He created a place for them, how they weren't migrants anymore. They were no longer nomadic, but God had planted them in the land that He had promised to Abraham. 7 days they would remember what it was like with the booths and tents, with the air moving through them, the simplistic way that God called them and their obedience to follow Him. They would celebrate with a week-long feast again, bring the first fruits of the latter harvest to offer to God. All the feasts that they had, their intention was to honor God with the meals. Recognize that He was the reason that they were there to celebrate. Recognize His role in what they were doing. In our modern times, we have holidays that we celebrate, and we need to put God at the center of it all. Christmas is right around the corner for us. Here at New Life, we're going to have both a Christmas Eve and Christmas Day services. Why? Because we want to celebrate the reason for the holiday. We want to honor God and how He sent Jesus to the earth here as a man. How He sent Him here to be born and start everything in motion to where he could reconcile us back to him. Set everything in motion for the new covenant that he has for us. On Easter, we celebrate the resurrection that has occurred and Jesus overcoming sin and the grave so that we would be raised to new life with him. We embrace and put Jesus at the center of everything, and that he is the one true, risen, living, eternal King. Here at Thanksgiving, we're definitely going to be recognizing that God is the one that we're thankful to. He's the one who made all the animals that we eat. He caused the potatoes and the corn to grow. He gives us the victories throughout our lives. We are thankful for every single thing that he does. But we don't stop there with recognizing God in our holidays. Last week I had talked a little bit about Veterans Day and how we can thank and glorify God in it. We can celebrate God's hand on establishing of our nation when we celebrate the 4th of July, our Independence Day. Most holidays that have been around where we have tradition, we can recognize what God's presence is in it. So we're certainly going to embrace Thanksgiving this week. We'll have our family feast, but it's so much more than a meal. We need to focus on the reason for the meal. It's giving thanks and celebrating God. That's the non-negotiable. We could be having peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but we're still going to celebrate God. It's a day of Thanksgiving. Here's one of the beauties about the depth of God's Word. We just looked at this next verse a few weeks ago when we were talking about roots. But this week, we're focused through the lens of Thanksgiving, and we see it in another light. In Colossians 2, starting in verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Jesus is the reason for it all. Whatever it is that we're looking at, we ask ourselves, where is he in it? If he's not, then it's time to rethink. But when we see him there, that is time to press in. It's time to embrace Jesus in it. We're abounding in the faith with thanksgiving. Now, abounding is a fancy word for fully living. We're victoriously living in our faith with thanksgiving. When we're thankful, we can't help but see who we're thankful for. Let's put a little Cool Whip on this tradition pie with these verses out of the Message paraphrase. They're in Colossians 2. "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught." And I love the way this next part is here. "School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that is not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him. So you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you. His power extends over everything. Hallelujah. I love the way some of those other translations put things that we read, but it just puts it in a whole new light. Adds so much flavor to reading and understanding that verse. We're highly blessed in this country. We know we have the hand of the Creator of the universe on this nation. We have so much to be thankful for. Gas may not be cheap, but we have a way to get around. We're not having to walk everywhere we go. You know, as Ruth Ann was saying during our popcorn testimony, you know, God would have never had that string broke had he not wanted us to have that popcorn testimony. You know, we shared what we were thankful for. Some of that all came out for today's message. But one of the things that Ruth Ann had shared was how she was thankful that we all have a warm house to be in out of the cold. We all have a warm house that we were able to wake up in this morning. We didn't have the wind whipping through our houses. We all had something soft to sleep on. We weren't laying on the solid ground. So we can have a feast to celebrate God's hand on our lives. We can have a feast celebrating the relationships that he's put us in. We can have a feast celebrating the freedoms that he's given us. We're going to have a feast to recognize his goodness. The feast is good, but it's important to recognize what the intent was for the holiday and to make sure that the desire is coming from our hearts. All the rest is merely a byproduct of what God is wanting to do. But the main thing needs to be the main thing. If we eat a lot or a little, it doesn't matter. If there's any food left in our favorite dish when we get up to the buffet, it doesn't matter. If the Lions win or lose, big deal. If we do whatever it is that our tradition is, that tradition isn't what's important. It's hearing God in it and letting that focus return to God is what's important. What his desires is for the relationship with us. And that's what we press into. Out of that comes a desire to have only him remain. Traditions are not bad if we recognize why it is we're doing them. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for the traditions that have been started long ago. Lord, we thank you for the tradition of this Thanksgiving holiday, Lord, and the establishment to give thanks to you. So, Lord, we do thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country, God. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that we have in this country. Lord, for the things that we even take for granted, but we should not take them for granted. Lord, we praise you for all the providence that you have for us, Lord, all the provision that you have for us. Lord, for constantly watching over your people. Lord, help our nation return to you. Lord, help our nation recognize your hand that has been on it for so long. Lord, we do give you all the thanks. Lord, we let that thanks come from within our heart to where it flows out of our very being. Lord, let thanksgiving be the condition of our heart. Lord, have your way in us. God, we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. We thank you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.